Welcome to this Thursday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Hi there, Mark Congleton here with you for this hour. Well, it's not an hour today, of observation, insight, and absurdity. I hope you're doing well. Hope all is well with you and yours, and that you have learned to ignore the media hype and essentially the lies coming from the left from every side. Today is going to be kind of a short edition of the podcast because I have someplace to be. Well, it's not like an appointment. Let me splain, as Ricky Ricardo would say. Let me splain why I'm not going to be doing a regular podcast today. That reason is that yesterday, after renewing my pistol permit, I went to pick up some ammo for my sidearm and for my wife's. And the place where I buy where I buy firearms, where I buy ammunition and the like, it's a place called Birmingham Pistol Wholesale. And I walked in the door. Well, I parked out front and thought, well, there was a couple of spots open here. That's not bad. Usually this place is slammed. It's covered up. Well, they must have been carpooling because the place was just covered up. And I could find my wife's ammo, but I couldn't find mine. And so I decided to come back today at opening when they open the door first thing in the morning. It's not a big place. It's a small place. It's a locally owned and operated place. And it's somebody I know owns and operates it. And I'll be heading over there today. They open at 9 a.m. And that is usually when I wrap this up. Right now it is 7:35 a.m. I usually start recording at 8. Because the way I have everything set up, I have it set up in a piece of software that is actually like a radio station operating system, and it's all based on the clock. And that makes it difficult to record. Like if I want to start recording at 7:15 or 7:21 or something like that, it's a major hassle to get that to go that way. It's just not easy. Anyway, so today I'm kind of doing this on the fly, and I have a few things to talk about today. Not a ton of things to talk about because of the time, but let's see. Let me open up my prep material, which I didn't do before I got started. Actually, what I did was I just decided, why don't I just wing it here, and I'll start recording and see how this works. And I did, and so here I am. It's working. So what I need to do is I need to open up a handful of things here so that I can see what's going on. Life in the United States of America right now is topsy-turvy. We have questions about what's real and what's not real. We have an election going on that has not been decided, but you wouldn't know that by looking at the mainstream news sources. When you turn on the news, they keep referring to someone who has not won an election as the president-elect. They're lying to us. I've been around for 63 years. There was a time when they used to tell us there will come a day when you can't trust the news media at all. There will come a day when lies will become truth and truth will become lies. There will come a day when you will have to seek out truth because it will not be easy to find. And that is today. It's been slowly getting there. Slowly, slowly, slowly. It's like the old thing about slowly turning up the heat under the pot. You throw a frog in a pot full of boiling water, it's going to freak out and jump out. You put a frog in a room temperature pot of water and slowly turn the heat up, it will be happy until it cooks. And we're watching the frogs cooking today. Those of us who have been warned and have heeded the warnings over the years are trying to warn other people, trying to alert other people to what's happening all around them. It hasn't been very successful. Got to be honest with you. It just hasn't been very successful. We've tried. We've warned. We have raised the red flags. We've stood on our tiptoes and waved and hollered from the back of the classroom. And we're getting ignored by a lot of people. And that's sad. And I think our nation has become so intellectually lazy that it doesn't care many times. And it just wants people, it just wants to be spoon-fed. I guess that's the best way to put it. It just wants someone to tell it, this is what's happening, and this is how life is, and just to be able to trust them. I have personally watched this happen as I've watched friends and family watch the evening news and just accept what they say. And it's saddening, because when you take in a lot of information, like I do, and probably like you do, then you see we're not being told everything. Not by a long shot. Not by a long shot. So when you see the news media refer to Joe Biden as the president-elect, the news media is lying to you. No one has declared a winner in this presidential election except for the news media, the mainstream press, and the Democrat Party. They have declared a winner. And there is no winner at this point in this election. Not at all. In fact, if you look at today's election map, let's see, where's a dependable one? A dependable one would be over at Epoch Times. Go to epochtimes.com and look at the election map that's on their front page. You will see that right now, the estimated Electoral College votes are 227 for Joe Biden and 232 for Donald Trump. Which one of those numbers is higher? It's Donald Trump's numbers. Yeah. At this point, he's ahead in the Electoral College race. Still, we have Nevada, Arizona, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Georgia to decide. Six states. There's about to be a complete and total hand recount, an audit in Georgia. Hopefully, and I say hopefully because you just never know, hopefully it will be honest and transparent and open. And there will be observers allowed from both sides and no silly maneuvering. None of this, 6 feet, COVID-19 business that's been going on, for example, in Pennsylvania and in Michigan. In Pennsylvania, there are lawsuits going on right now, and there will be more. In Michigan, lawsuits are ongoing. In Wisconsin, in Nevada, in Arizona, all of these places, there are challenges. And those challenges mean things are not what they're telling you they are. If Joe Biden only has 227 Electoral College votes in the bank, he's not winning. Donald Trump is winning with 232. 270 is the magic number. That means you're over half, and over 50% gets you the win in the Electoral College. There's still a long way to go. Remember, Al Gore drug this out back in the year 2000 for 37 days. And during that 37 days, his people told the courts, we just want to make sure everything is above board and fair. We want every vote to be counted. It was very similar to what we're hearing today. They say every vote should be counted, which sounds good, but it should be every legal vote. And the Democrats and their cohorts in the media keep saying every vote when it should be every legal vote, and they're fighting transparency at every step, so we can know whether or not all of the votes were legal. They keep saying there's been no voter fraud. This is all a myth. It's all a lie. They're trying to undermine the integrity of the vote. No, we're looking for transparency. If you want people to trust, you have to be completely honest. And if you're not completely honest, we can't trust you. And we don't. Now, one of the things that's happening is that in Georgia, as I mentioned, there's going to be an audit. There's going to be a recount. And a writer, a columnist for the New York Times, is urging Democrats to commit voter fraud in Georgia. His name is Thomas Friedman. And he has urged national Democrats to move to Georgia to vote in the upcoming Senate runoff elections. That's a clear violation of state law. That is, if the voters leave after the races conclude. If you move to Georgia and you're going to stay in Georgia, well, then we don't have a problem. But if you move there just to vote and then leave, you are committing a crime. Monday night on CNN, he said, "I hope everybody moves to Georgia, you know, in the next month or two, registers to vote, and votes for these two Democratic senators." Now, Georgia election law does not include a length of residency requirement in order to vote in the state. That means you don't have to live there for at least 6 months or a year before the election. They do, however, prohibit prospective voters from residing in the state briefly with the intention just to vote and then move away. Now, in a court of law, fraudsters would argue, "Well, that was not my intent. I just had to leave." Holy cow. Honest Elections Project Executive Director Jason Snead told the Washington Free Beacon, "You do not have to establish residency for a period of time before an election in order to qualify to vote, but you do have to establish intent to remain a resident. You can't bus yourself in, register at the Holiday Inn, vote, and then leave 2 days later. That would clearly constitute fraud." Well, that may be what's happening in some corners, but in more wealthy corners, there are wealthy people, celebrities, who would buy a condo, move in, vote there. Not just celebrities, come on, people who have enough money to do this, and there are plenty. They would buy a condo, rent an apartment, something like that, move in, vote, and then move out and leave. They would do that. It's not beyond. It's not beyond the realm of imagination or possibility. Local activists have responded warmly to the call for non-Georgians to vote in the runoffs. The organizer, Tamara Stevens, she's an organizer in Georgia with Handmaids Coalition of Georgia. She invited Northern Democrats and West Coast liberals to flock to the state in order to vote in a recent Facebook post. She wrote, "You're all invited to spend the winter in Georgia. Come on down and we'll cook for you too." Failed presidential candidate Andrew Yang announced over the weekend on Saturday he would be moving to Georgia to help Ossoff and Warnock win. Those are the Democrat candidates there. While he didn't disclose if he plans to vote for the Democrats, he did note that there isn't much time before the state's December 7th registration deadline in a previous tweet. This is nuts. It's obvious. Ossoff and Warnock can't win this election without fraud. And so people are encouraging fraud at every turn. And let me tell you something, Georgians, if you're a subscriber to this podcast and you live in Georgia, these men are intent on taking away your Second Amendment rights. They want to register everything you have. If you own, like I do, a pistol that's a semi-auto, and most of them today are, they want you to have to register that. They want you to have to be licensed to own it, much less carry it. You have to have government permission to exercise a right protected by the Constitution in the minds of these two people. This is not what we want in this country. Not at all. Not at all. It's just insane. Now let's move across the country from Georgia over to Arizona, where the Secretary of State, a Democrat named Katie Hobbs, has rejected a request for an independent analysis of voting data in the state, concluding, she says what this would do would just amplify the voices of people who are looking for ways to undermine the democratic process for political gain. Here's what she says. "It is patently unreasonable to suggest that despite there being zero credible evidence of any impropriety or widespread irregularities, election officials nonetheless have a responsibility to prove a negative." She wrote this in response to Arizona Senate President Karen Fann, a Republican, who requested an independent analysis of voting data to restore confidence and credibility among residents. This is what I was talking about, transparency. Transparency. That's all we're asking for is transparency. Hobbs said, to be clear, there is no current controversy regarding elections in Arizona outside of theories floated by those seeking to undermine our democratic process for political gain. She added that elected officials should, quote, work to build rather than damage public confidence in our system, before she formally denied the request. In saying, she said, I respectfully decline your request to push aside the work that remains to be done to ensure an orderly completion of this election and instead launch and fund with taxpayer dollars a boundless independent evaluation. And she used independent in quotes. Oh, yeah, like it's really independent. Evaluation of all data related to the tabulation of votes in the 2020 general election. In saying this, she's implying that it wouldn't be independent, that it wouldn't be fair, that it wouldn't be open, and that it would just call things into question. Well, okay, yes, it will call things into question. But because things are already being called into question, the reason for asking for this is because there is doubt. The reason for asking for this is because there are questions. And trust is being eroded. And trust is further eroded by resisting. Trust is being thrown out the window. And a Democrat is taking a very progressive line and saying, you will trust us. You will trust us. If you don't trust us, then you are somehow trying to destroy us. That's a pretty extreme thing. That standpoint is very extreme. Now, the Prescott Republican has made a request. They did this Monday. They contend that an independent analysis would help to restore credibility and hopefully end current controversy over fairness in the election process in Arizona, given the mounting concerns and suspicions of fraud and abuse. And they are mounting. There is quite a bit of questioning going on. Fan added, I'm not claiming fraud was involved in Arizona's election, but we must do everything we can to satisfy Arizonans that the count was lawfully done. And this, as I said before, it's all about transparency. We're just asking for transparency. That's all. If you want the people of your state to trust your process, why would you object to transparency? Why would you object to opening the doors, turning on the lights, and letting the process be seen? Why would you object? It's very interesting coming from a political party that insists that voter ID is suppression of the vote, that voter ID is a way to deprive people of their privileges. They don't want anybody to know whether or not you're qualified to vote or not. And afterwards, they don't want anybody to know whether you were qualified to vote or not. And that's just one more example of what's been happening. That's in Arizona. The Trump campaign is saying there's evidence that dead people voted in Georgia. We're back to Georgia again. And also, in the last 24 hours, if you're a news junkie like me, you've noticed that report after report's been popping up in your sources, in your dependable sources, saying that this person voted in this election, but they died 3 years ago. Or this person voted in this election. They were born in the year 1900. This, you see what I'm talking about? Time and time and time again. Now, this is not what some would call massive, widespread vote fraud, but it is telling that it's happening in many, many places. In many places, we're seeing it in Michigan. We're seeing it in Georgia. We're seeing it in Nevada. All of these states that are in question, part of the mix is dead people voting. It's The Voting Dead. It could be a Netflix TV series, The Voting Dead. The dead are voting in these states. And we need to know what's really going on with them. And as I said before, all of this stuff is, it's going through legal processes. Oh, let me back up here. Facebook is posting something. Let's see, this was 5 o'clock this morning, Central Time. Facebook posted this. They updated it. And they post this little graphic on their on your Facebook page. When you pull up your Facebook page, you will see this graphic. It says, Joe Biden remains the projected winner of the 2020 U.S. presidential election. These are bullet points. Bullet point two. Election officials say that voter fraud, which is historically rare, has not affected any outcome in this election. And bullet point three. They have confirmed that mail-in voting was conducted in accordance with state voting rules. And then there's a link to click to get the latest election info. Well, Joe Biden has only been projected the winner of the presidential election by the Biden campaign and by the news media. Well, and social media, the big tech people like Facebook and Twitter. The election officials in point number two, bullet point number two, are state election officials who are involved in the fraud process. Of course they're going to say voter fraud has not affected any outcome in this election. And the claim that it is historically rare is also a lie, because voter fraud has been involved in many elections. It's just never been proven to the degree that it can change the outcome of an election. It's been happening, but gutless politicians haven't had the will to pursue it to its necessary end to make it stop. And finally, that third point, they've confirmed that mail-in voting was conducted in accordance with state voting rules. Well, right now, one of the lawsuits is that the state voting rules are unconstitutional. I believe it's Pennsylvania. They're talking about how right now the state voting rules are allowing for two tiers of voting, and that they're giving preference to one tier over the other. So this entire process is questionable, and we need transparency to open it up. I need to mention, if you want a reliable source, a trustworthy source for reporting on the election, you can go to Epoch Times, epochtimes.com. You can sign up for their email. They send you blasts throughout the day about what's happening and notifications about stories. But be warned, they're also an operating business, and they will constantly, with every email, be trying to get you to buy a subscription to their service. If you subscribe, you're still going to get those emails. Those little prompts. Hey, how about subscribing? I already subscribed. And I know this because I haven't subscribed, but I have signed up so that I can read their stuff online. And every time I click on a link to go to their stories, I have to put in my name and password to be able to read the stories. But you are getting fair, balanced information from a news group which refuses to declare a winner until the fat lady sings. And that itself is important. Okay, back over to what I was talking about. Now, Kayleigh McEnany, who the other day was cut off by Neil Cavuto on Fox News before she could make her case about vote fraud, he just said, we're not going to let her talk about this because it's all unsubstantiated. And if he had waited for, I think it was 42 seconds. 42 seconds later, she spelled everything out, but he didn't give her the chance. Well, she says President Donald Trump is in great spirits in the midst of several lawsuits over the election November 3rd, adding she believes some cases will reach the Supreme Court, where conservatives enjoy a 6-3 majority. Well, maybe it's more likely 5-4, thinking of Roberts. She says, I think at this point it probably will make its way up to the Supreme Court. She said this to Just the News. This is coming, by the way, from Epoch Times, who I just mentioned. Right now, she goes on to say, we are at the district court level, and we'll see how they rule in Pennsylvania and on our upcoming lawsuits here in Michigan and elsewhere. And I think it's really anyone's guess where this goes. McEnany added that Trump's campaign also has more information on a Michigan case about ballots, which will be released in the near future. McEnany, who's serving as Trump's campaign advisor, responded to an incident on Monday when Fox News cut away from her speech to show host Neil Cavuto, Neil Cavuto, who said he couldn't allow her to say Democrats are welcoming fraud and welcoming illegal voting. Following the move, Fox News has faced backlash from conservatives on social media. In fact, Fox News has faced viewership drops. They've lost so many viewers, they've actually put together a panel. They've hired consultants to help them address things. They're going to try to run a big PR campaign. They have lost a lot of viewers, millions of viewers. In the interview, McEnany said she was attempting to expose problems with the U.S. election system. Quote, "It's a tenet of the Republican Party to support voter identification, because to not support it welcomes fraud. It's a basic principle, and it's one that I don't believe should be censored by the media, but allowed to be said. The Democrats, they tried to delegitimize the 2016 election for 4 years. All we're asking for is transparency. And we have the media attacking us simply for asking to put light on the system. This is what I was just talking about. Transparency, daylight. Open the doors, turn on the lights, let it all be seen so people can see how it works and can have the confidence that everything is above board. But oh no, they can't do this." Earlier this week, Trump's campaign filed a lawsuit that alleged officials created a two-tiered voting system, which is illegal, and favored mail-in ballots, as I mentioned before. Trump 2020 campaign general counsel Matt Morgan says, "We believe this two-tiered election system resulted in potentially fraudulent votes being counted without proper verification and oversight, as well as many voters being disenfranchised simply for casting their votes in person." Of the new allegations foisted against Pennsylvania's election officials, McEnany said that there will be forthcoming litigation as well. David Becker, executive director and founder of the Center for Election Innovation and Research, told USA Today that with the latest lawsuit, the campaign continues to spread lies about transparency of this process and access to observers. "The Trump campaign observers and Republican Party observers were present," he says, "at every moment that every ballot was considered in Pennsylvania." However, last week, Republicans and Trump's campaign alleged that all Republican observers were illegally blocked from watching the vote counting process. Several news outlets say that Democratic candidate Joe Biden is projected to win Pennsylvania. But over at the Epoch Times, I've told you, they will not project until, like I said, the fat lady sings. Let's go back to this. "The Trump campaign observers and Republican Party observers were present at every moment that every ballot was considered in Pennsylvania." Okay, let's play the words game here. They were present. They were too far away to be able to see what was going on, though. And the numbers of them had been intentionally reduced little by little. As people would leave the room, they weren't allowed to come back into the room. If someone touched their face mask because it needed to be readjusted, they were surrounded by people concerned about COVID-19 and then asked to leave. So no, the Republican Party and Trump campaign observers may have been present at every moment, but they were not allowed to see what was going on. So, he's lying. David Becker, the executive director and founder of the Center for Election Innovation and Research, is just parroting the Democrat Party and Joe Biden campaign disinformation. It's a lie. They were not allowed to be there. And that is the core of the entire issue. Once again, it's transparency. What are you hiding if you don't want people to see what you're doing? That's the issue. What are you hiding? It's a sad day in America when we can't trust what's happening, when we can't believe what we're told by people that we used to be able to trust in positions of power, What do we do? Well, we demand the transparency we should be getting. We insist that that we be given access and that we are able to watch what's actually happening. And when they object and say, well, that will just tell people that this shouldn't be trusted, we say out loud in front of God and everybody, yeah, you're right. That does say that you should, that what you are saying, what you're doing shouldn't be trusted. Because at this point, we can't trust it. Because you have proven to us you can't be trusted. So, there we go. We are watching right now the Democrat Party try to steal an election. We're watching right now their legal people try to tell us there's nothing to see here. We're watching right now as the President of the United States tries to hold on to his office and to keep it from being stolen from him so that he can continue the work he has begun in putting America back to work and putting things back together that have been torn apart over the last 8 years by the Obama administration, and to cease operations of the fundamental transformation of the United States of America. Hey, that's it for me today. God bless you. Have a good one. We'll see you back here next time for the next edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.